Hey guys, Tracy here. You're listening to episode 2 of Dark Interest. Today, we're going to talk about one of my favorite serial killers, Edmund Kemper, aka the Coed Killer. It's one twisted, kind of fucked up story, so sit back, settle in, and find out why Ed Kemper is one of my favorite dark interests.
After I picked it up, had just picked it up,
the kids' rooms.
Yep.
I feel like
both of them.
I feel like the whole house is like that.
Yes. And it's all of it all the time. Like, I'll get done cleaning one room and then go to another one and then it's dirty again. Like, it's just nonstop. And I feel like I have to have it somewhat picked up because my mother-in-law comes over.
Exactly.
But today I had so many dishes. It was it was a lot.
Did you get them done or no?
Fuck no, I didn't. And I really meant to. And I had just started when she got to my house, and then I went to work and whatever. And Andrew sent me a text and he said that she had done the dishes. She did all of them for me.
Oh, that's really sweet though. She didn't have to.
Yeah, but there was no way I was getting that done today.
You get them done every other day. Yeah. I just want you to bask and revel in that.
Yeah.
Because it definitely would not be me.
Well, it wasn't me today, and I don't feel bad about it.
All right. What do you call a man with a rubber toe?
What?
Roberto.
Oh, my God. I love that. That's my father-in-law's name.
Today, we're going to talk about one of my favorites.
Yeah, and I didn't really know much about him. I have heard of him, but nothing really stuck out to me that, was like, oh, that's him,
Yeah. So, story or whatever. I was kind of the same way with Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a Night Stalker. He did some fucked up shit, but what did he do? And when I figured it out, I was, bro.
Yeah.
Like, what?
I also hadn't heard of him until you mentioned it one time. And so I looked it up.
And that's why, when I say my favorite, by no means am I trying to, glorify the killers or what they do or anything like that, but
it's interesting.
It's very interesting. Yeah. I mean, their methods, their brains, how they work, their justification, it just blows my mind, kind of how they're like, yeah, well, yada yada yada, I did this and it's okay, what's the problem? It just blows my mind.
So
the star tonight, I should say, is no other than the co-ed killer, Edmund Kemper.
I don't know. I felt like I should clap. Yes.
I don't know if we should clap for the killer or the story.
I don't know.
Not the killer.
We were announcing it.
Yeah. So we're going to...
And I also forgot that that's what he was called.
The co-ed killer.
Yeah.
Right? So that's another one. Like, you hear the co-ed killer and, the co-ed killer. Like, it dings a bell.
Yeah.
But it doesn't ding it right to Ed Kemper. It dings it right to Ed Kemper. I'm like, Buddy Ed. My buddy Ed. And it's funny because that's what the cops called him. That was their buddy Ed. He was friends with the cops. And, that just plays more so into the fascination of, him. Why he's a favorite.
He hung out with them.
Yeah. He hung out with them kicking the bobo. Haven't said that since middle school, but it used to be a thing.
Okay.
All right, so Edmund Emil Kemper III. The third. There's three of those.
Okay.
His father was called E.E. Kemper, and he was married to his mother, Clarnell Kemper. He was birthed in Burbank, California. So... his childhood, like many other killers, was not normal. It was pretty messed up.
Was he abused?
He wasn't beaten,
definitely psychologically abused. And he was, you know, yeah, I would say he was abused.
Verbally, emotionally,
for sure. He was abused. The series on Netflix, Mindhunter, that I finally got you to watch.
Yeah.
Pretty good shows. The FBI profiler in the show was Holden Ford, little weird guy. In real life, he's portraying John Douglas. So when he was interviewed about Ed Kemper.
So this is the real guy.
The real FBI profiler that went around to
interview
killers and actually make, you know, he helped coin the term serial killer and whatnot.
Yeah.
Pretty sure. Gonna have to fact check that, but.
That was in the first season.
Yeah. So, kind of help with that. And they just kind of investigated killers and their mindsets and tried to.
Like categorize.
Categorize them and see a crime and then turn around and say, okay, this is the type of person that we're looking for. This is the person that's gonna commit this crime.
Yeah.
They're, you know, a single white male in their 30s.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were picked on their whole life or whatever. You know, they
probably has a job.
Exactly. Probably, you know.
Or doesn't like, have a job. Yeah.
Has a dog or is really close with his parents. Yada, yada. Mm-hmm. They fascinatingly do that. So the real guy, John Douglas, who helped to actually create this system.
Like Criminal Minds, kind of, right?
I have a confession. Confession time.
Don't tell me. Don't tell me you've never seen Criminal Minds.
I'm an SVU girl, and I know people watch both, but I just...
I was literally gonna say, but I like SUV too.
SUV.
Or I SVU cannot. Too, whatever.
I absolutely adore Law and Order SVU. And I've watched an episode or so of Criminal Minds, but I've never actually sat down, stared at the TV, and watched the show.
Oh, but it's so...
I've like, never... You know, I know the weird girl with the so pigtails. And,
oh, that's...
Wait. Yeah. She's in the lab with the pigtails.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm, the blonde weird chick.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have, like, other stuff.
Yeah.
But... I don't know. I just... It's no SVU. SUV. SUV.
You did it now.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've watched... I recently tried to watch one, and I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. Cool twist. Mm-hmm. I see why people are intrigued, but I still never, you know...
Yeah.
Actually watched it.
That's kind of how I feel about Black Mirror.
Oh, the first season was amazing.
I've only seen maybe one episode. I don't know. Like,
but it's a little harder with that because each episode, you got to completely start over, watch again, learn people, and see what's going on.
Yeah.
It's not like a consecutive series. It's,
that's probably why I just
didn't
get
it. Yeah.
But anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Perfecto. But yeah, the John Douglas, when he was interviewed, he basically said, you know, the whole nature versus nurture debate thing. Well, with Ed, it was definitely nurture. I'm sorry, my neighbors are on 10, and I normally never hear them. With the nature versus nurture debate, he said that it was definitely nurture with Ed. You know, the reason that he became the way that he was and did the things that he did. So that's just a little bit to speak onto his childhood and how he grew up.
I feel like it's always kind of like a little bit of both, though.
I agree.
I don't know.
I agree.
I'm kind of both, you know?
Because there's plenty of people who were abused and, you know, had really messed up upbringings. And they're fine, productive members of society. Or they're really messed up and have to be looked after and taken care of. But they don't go around killing people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's no excuse. It could be a contributing factor.
I think it definitely, you know, kind of helps set up.
Yeah.
You know.
I think it's definitely possible that these people could not have done what they did.
That direction.
Exactly. They could have been different, but the nurture pushed them that way, for sure. And I feel like there's people who had that horrible nurture and they were not pushed that way. So I definitely feel like it's a balance of nature and nurture. What balance? I don't know. But I feel like there is one. Yeah. Well, him and his father, I didn't find a lot of information about his dad beyond him being a veteran and such. But he adored his father. Eventually, him and his mother split. His father and his mother, they got a divorce. It was a very toxic and volatile marriage and relationship. So the upbringing that he did have, although he was close with his dad until the split, it wasn't a good household that he was in. It wasn't anything that we would want to be in. It was very unhealthy.
Yeah.
So eventually that they did break up and get a divorce. Ed had two sisters. Him and his sisters stayed with his mother when they divorced, and she decided to move them away to Montana. So from Burbank, California to Montana.
Wow.
What's in Montana, Erin?
Mountains. What? The Rocky Mountains.
Is that there?
I think so.
That's pretty cool.
Like the Colorado.
I can't even tell you where Montana is on the map. I'm not even gonna lie.
It's over there by like Idaho and
in that area.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. His traumatic childhood mainly was because of his mother.
Right. It was her nurture. Yeah. Not his. Not the father's. It was her nurture. So about Clarnell, his mother. She was a special type of cunt.
It's a terrible name.
It's a terrible name. And honestly, I don't like to use the C word often. Oh, I don't.
Okay.
But, you okay. know, I cuss like a sailor.
Yeah.
But the C word is very special.
Yeah. You don't just throw it out there.
It is reserved for very specific. Exactly. And she fits the mold perfectly. You know, not the average.
Yes. Special.
Very special. So, in their new home, that's in air quotes, by the way.
In Montana.
Their new home. Ed was forced to live and sleep in the basement. In the cold, dark basement.
So, like an unfinished.
Unfinished. It's not. No.
I know, but I'm just trying to.
No carpet. No projector. Nothing like that.
Yeah.
Just a basement with maybe a washing machine. I don't know.
I don't like to go down and.
I don't like to go to
a basement or my basement or anything. Exactly. Like when it's not.
Exactly.
Or like warm.
And he had to sleep down there. Not only did, you know, was that his main dwelling in the home, she would lock him in there. Like he couldn't just come and go as he pleased. Like she would lock him in there at night. And the whole reasoning, she had some psychotic thinking that he would, for some reason, hurt his sisters.
Why did she think that?
Exactly. I don't know.
Did he show violent behavior?
Nope. Yes and no. Okay, so not specifically to them. No, he did not show violent behavior. Up until that time, I believe that he hadn't shown violent behavior at all, really. He was just kind of, you know, a little shy, quiet, and weird. That's all. But, I mean, he wasn't a little shy, quiet, and weird for no reason. Because the special little bitch, Clarnell, just talked mad shit about little Eddie. I mean, all the time, constantly, for no reason. She would just constantly belittle him and tell him how worthless he was. And he was the cause for all of her problems. I mean, horrible things. Like, why would you say that at all, let alone to your child?
Yeah, because if you hear it all the time, you're going to believe it.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's the type of shit that she would do.
That's heavy.
Yeah.
On a person.
Yeah. Really fucked up. I mean, one time, Ed was being interviewed, and they called him Edmund. You know, they called him by his given name. His response was, you know, Edmund was my mom's idea, so you can call me Ed. Basically just saying, like, fuck that bitch. I think that was on, I think I saw that on Mindhunter.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was,
I love that.
Yeah, he did not fuck with Clarnell.
Yeah.
He did not fuck with her.
Well, I think of it as, like, this is what my mom wanted, but I'm not gonna do it. Like, I'm gonna do the
kind of rebellious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I totally like.
I can see that. I can see that. I like that. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Back up.
Sure.
I was gonna say that the guy who plays Ed Kemper in Mindhunter looks so similar to the real one.
Yeah. He looks like a strike, like just
so
twins.
Similar.
Yeah.
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 And
Cameron, Britton? I don't know. I'm going to Google it. Cameron something, his name was. The actor.
Guy. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think he did such a good job playing him.
He did amazing. He did a great portrayal of Ed Kemper.
Is there any, like, interviews with him that, like, a documentary? You know, like, how on Netflix they have the Ted Bundy one.
I'm looking, you know, online now because I was looking up his last name. It is Cameron Britton. And it looks like there's a few interviews where he explains how he transformed into Ed Kemper.
Yeah.
So, we should definitely check that out. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert for Mindhunter. Where he hugs Holden, that's his name, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Holden for
he
the...
He gives him a hug, and then he runs out of the hospital room and has, like, the panic attack. Mm-hmm. Like, that scene was intense for me.
Yeah.
Like, I liked it.
Yeah.
It was very... I liked that show.
The whole thing was pretty intense. I mean, even to their personal kind of...
Yeah.
Their personal storylines, that was a lot.
Holden's little... partner, what was his name? Anyway, that dude's storyline in the show is crazy. Unbelievable.
Bill Tinge.
Yes.
Bill Tinge.
Exactly.
Yes.
How could I forget that? You know, like, that was crazy. That
yeah.
was such a good season.
Yeah. So, needless to say, if you haven't already,
yes,
watch Mindhunter on Netflix. It's absolutely amazing. So, with the new home life in Montana, with little Clint Carnell.
Locked in the basement.
Locked in the basement. Ed already had, you know, kind of a wandering mind and little dark fantasies and whatnot. But they really intensified when you're locked in a fucking basement.
Yep.
At that point, he kind of started acting out in darker ways. He would convince his little sisters to help him play a game called, well, which he called Gas Chamber.
Ooh.
Yeah. He would, you know, just have them tie him up, blindfold him, tie his arms behind his
back. Really tie him up?
Like, really tie him up.
Okay.
And have them escort him to a chair, and basically just act like he was choking on gas, you know?
Yeah.
And just in pure agony until he, quote unquote, died, you know, from being.
Wow.
Right. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, me and my brother and my cousins, we would hop around on the couches and say the floor is lava.
Yes.
That's the craziest shit that we ever exposed ourselves to in a game. The floor is lava. Not a goddamn gas chamber like this is the Holocaust.
Exactly. Like, that is very, very dark.
I'm so confused as to what appeal he got from that.
What
pleasure did that bring you, Edmund?
Well, I could see why maybe his mom would be a little bit worried.
But
not after she locked his ass in the basement.
You feel me? Like, after.
Well, at that point, you have to keep your eye on him a little bit. But, I mean, still, I'm not for the locking in the basement.
Yeah,
you
not cool. I mean, maybe this wouldn't happen if you didn't lock him in the basement.
Yeah, he wouldn't have had to get that bad, like that dark.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that's just the beginning.
Like, This was when, mm-hmm. when did he move? What age did he move to Montana? I'm sorry. I don't know how old he is at this point.
Oh, you know what? I don't think at any point.
Adolescent or?
I have divulged their age. He was actually 9 when his parents divorced. So I believe it was either right at 9 or 10 years old that they moved. Okay. And this stuff started happening.
Oh, man. Okay.
You know, in addition to the gas chamber, he would also cut the heads off of his sister's dolls. I mean, honestly...
But that's not...
I did that.
That's not, like, a major... killing an animal.
I like the stuff that I like. Like,
yeah.
This right here. But I'm not a serial killer. And I used to pop my Barbie's legs out and stuff and pop their heads off. Because... Why are y'all buying me Barbies? Yeah. You know I'd rather be in a tree.
Oh, I love Barbies.
I was not a Barbie. You know, I was never. I was more so of a tomboy.
And you probably, you were more like good at sports and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know, I ran track. I played volleyball. Not.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. I climbed trees as a kid. You know, I fought boys when I was a little girl. Like, you know, yeah.
I'm not much of a fighter.
Anywho, he actually... killed his first victim when he was 10 years old.
Wait, what?
Exactly. It wasn't a person. It was the family cat.
But that's kind of, but not really kind of worse. You know what I mean? Like, I hate the killing animals part.
I might make it a little worse with this detail. He didn't, like, cut his head off or anything like that. Nothing gruesome like that. Nothing gory. He just kind of buried it alive a little bit. Just a little bit.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a different kind of torture.
Different kind of fucked up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what happened.
I was thinking, like, oh, no, he didn't do anything like the... Don't fuck with cats or whatever, the Luca. Like, that to me sounded terrible.
He did exactly
But
that.
Then you hit me with that, and I'm just like,
I mean, Luca McNaughton was a little bit worse.
I mean, it's just a different kind.
Different kind, yeah. They're all but the same level of fucked up, go to hell and burn.
To think of...
Like Carol Baskins.
To think of... burying the cat alive as mm-hmm. your and picking that as your method of
let
killing.
Me just do this
is that says something, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Oh, you just made it a little bit worse.
Sorry, that, sorry
that realization. Yeah, sorry. For sure it so, does say a lot.
Yeah, but he was 10 years old when he did that with the cat.
Yeah, and cat. Then a few years later he decided he wanted to have some the same experience and decided to chop up another cat.
Chop it up
into pieces. And he kept it in his closet. In his bedroom. Or his basement closet. it just said closet. He kept it in his closet. Until his mother finally found it.
Stop kidding, family cat. For one. For two, why would you keep it in your closet?
I have.
Like.
Absolutely.
What the hell? No, why do you need to keep.
I have no idea what pleasure that brought him. But.
That's weird.
I guess he visited it.
Then again, that brings me back and reminds me of like Jeffrey Dahmer. But yeah. In a different way, he didn't keep animals in the closet. But mm-hmm. why are you keeping it in your closet?
Yeah.
Why? And why are your parents finding it? Stop. Yes, stop.
It has to, like we said on the last episode, it has to stink at some point, Aaron.
Oh, definitely.
What
definitely.
Are they thinking? It has to stink.
Yeah.
And things
this one's
die
in his
and
closet,
rot,
not
and
his
they
freezer.
Fucking stink, not in the freezer.
So this is definitely stinking.
Ugh. So frustrating.
So what happened when she found it?
She was just like, Ed, what the fuck are you doing? Threw it out, and...
That was that?
I guess.
Water under the bridge?
I'm pretty sure she had, Like, if she didn't already have both her eyes on this
guy. I mean, she was already locking him up, but, like, that's making it worse, so she should have took a different approach.
I would think. I mean, but I'm assuming maybe she did because, you know, that happened at 13, when he was 13 years old, and by the age of 14, he ran away. So maybe she did take some different approaches.
Or he did.
Or he did. Okay. He ran away to try to live with his father back in California. And, you know, he stayed there for a little while. His father had remarried. He had another family. And
did his dad have other kids?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And,
were his two sisters from the same mom and dad? I'm assuming, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes. They were all the same parents. But when he went to live with his dad, I mean, they tried it. His dad tried. Mm-hmm. But his new wife was just completely creeped out by Ed. She could not do it. She could not handle it. So his dad ended up sending him to his parents. So Ed went to live with his grandparents, his paternal grandparents. And that was his new beginning. They were also in California.
His dad still lived in the same general area, I would assume.
Right, than I would before. Assume.
Okay, so he went and lived with his grandparents.
He ran away. He went to try to stay with his father. He was then again rejected and sent off to live with his grandparents. I mean, this was just basically when he went to his grandparents. Not that that move is what caused it, but at this point, him being in this house, this was like the beginning of the end for Ed. I mean, this is where it all just kind of started going downhill and where the story really starts to unfold. Because
like, no stability.
No stability. He's bouncing from here to there, just constantly rejected, not wanted, told he's weird, just, you know.
Yeah, sad. Made to, like, hate himself.
Hate himself. You know, how can you love yourself when no one else shows that to you?
Yeah, they tell you every reason why
you should hate yourself.
Why you can't be loved.
So he got put into another home with his grandparents that was just exactly like the one he grew up in.
It wasn't any better?
It wasn't any better. His grandfather, he loved him. He adored him. He looked up to him. His grandma, another
Clarnell.
Another Clarnell. I'm not going to give her the C word because they didn't give me enough to give her the C word. But if they're telling me she's another Clarnell, we're just going to call her Clarnell 2.
Squared.
Clarnell squared. There you go. Yeah. So while living with his grandparents, his grandpa gave him a .22 rifle for his birthday or some type of occasion. His grandfather gifted him a .22 rifle. So he uses
great choice of gifts.
Yeah. Yeah.
For somebody,
You know, back in the day, though, it was young boys hunt. Common, you know, young boys had, I think it was more common back then than it would be now. The further back in history you go, I think the more common it would be.
Yeah.
So.
I take that
You
back,
know what yeah. I mean? So, Ed didn't use the gun for anything malicious. He would just shoot, you know, birds, and I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah, me either.
But he's not, you know, taking a human life or anything, so.
Or like.
Or a dog. You know, yeah. I mean, people do that.
You read my mind.
Whatever. I don't get it. It's a thing. They do it. It's okay, apparently. He shot birds.
Yeah. It's less.
Horrible.
Yeah.
I don't like it, but, you know, he would shoot birds. He would shoot small animals. Birds, gophers, rabbits.
Squirrels.
Things like that. And, you know, like us, his bitch-ass grandma hated it, not to compare us to her.
And doing the rebellious thing, probably.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. She ended up eventually taking the rifle away.
Was he pissed?
He was pretty fucking upset. Actually, one of the quotes for Ed that I wrote down was, "She thought she had more balls than any man and was constantly emasculating me and my grandpa to prove it." So that's what,
okay.
You know, that was his take on his grandmother.
That sounds annoying.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Right? It sounds annoying. Like, he worded it perfectly. Yeah. I want to slap her for him.
Yeah.
She must not have hidden the rifle very well when she took it, because on August 27th, 1964, him and his grandmother got into an argument. He pointed the rifle right at her back and fired it.
Ooh, see ya.
Clarnell Squared is deceased. He was 15 when this happened.
Wow.
I would say he's progressing.
Escalated very quickly.
Very quickly.
Yeah. His grandma.
His grandma. What did he do next, you ask?
What did he do next?
His grandfather came home from grocery shopping. He met his grandfather in the driveway to prevent him from seeing what he'd done. Because
He loved his grandpa. Kind of like his dad.
Yeah. Right. And his grandpa already had, like, heart problems and things. And he didn't want him to be upset.
Yeah.
So, to prevent him from getting upset, seeing what he'd done, and possibly having a heart attack, he killed him too.
Oh, because that makes sense.
That makes sense. In order to save him from that happening.
Yeah. To save him in order from, like, having a heart attack and dying.
Possibly.
He just went ahead and took care of it.
He just went ahead and nipped it in the bud.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh, but.
So, after he killed his grandparents, he called his mom and basically just told her what he did. He explained what just happened. He killed his grandparents.
Why wouldn't
he
call his dad? They're his dad's parents.
Exactly. I have no idea. Please tell me, Aaron.
That makes no sense to me.
None at all.
But, okay.
That's what apparently happened. He called his mom and she urged him to call the police, and he did.
Yeah.
So, the police arrive, yada, yada, yada. Data, 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 processing, technicalities. He's found guilty.
But he's a juvenile, right?
He is a juvenile. So, he gets sentenced to a max security hospital for the mentally ill. It's called the Atascadero State Hospital.
Oh, yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've heard of that a lot.
So, you've heard of the hospital?
Mm-hmm. In this other documentary I was watching about the Zodiac Killer.
Nice.
Which is also
another one that I know in a year.
Don't know
have
a
no
whole
idea.
Lot about. I mean,
exactly. I know he traveled. A little. And killed. And there's movies. Yeah. Sarkana.
Well, the Town of documentary, Sundown or something like that. I'm not sure on what, like, network or anything. Or I know it's on Hulu, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's about this guy who was adopted and talks about his journey of finding his biological parents. But then he goes on to discover mm-hmm. that he thinks that his dad is the Zodiac Killer.
And his dad was dead, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's dead now, so you can't really ask him or anything. But, I mean, it goes to show some, like, things that support his beliefs, you know, kind of to prove why he thinks this. And, I mean, I watched it. I don't know if I watched the ending, which I hate to say that because I'm talking about it.
Right.
And I saw all the way through except the ending. But I do think there are a lot of things that make me believe he really could be. You know, but I don't think we're ever going to know.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of instances, cases, and things that we're just going to have to accept that we possibly may not ever know.
Yeah.
Okay, so while Ed was in the hospital, he basically took this time that he knew that he had to stay there. He wasn't going anywhere, right?
Did you say how long he was sentenced or told? Well, yeah, sentenced.
Yeah, so he was committed to the hospital until he was of age. So, 21, basically.
Okay.
At that point, he would be reevaluated to see if it would be okay for his release.
Yeah.
But while he was in there, he basically took that time and saw it as a tool to learn. He saw it as learning potential. He decided to take advantage of that and take notes while talking to other murderers.
Other mentally ill people. Okay.
Because who knows why they were in this hospital. You know, there's so much corruptness. He took notes while talking to patients.
He learned about
the details of their crimes. He learned about what the downfall of their capture was. Like, what brought the cops to them.
Why they ended up.
How they ended up where they are. Yeah, exactly. He wanted to basically make sure that he wouldn't end up in the same position again or make the same mistakes that they did. So he took note of all of theirs. On top of that, while in the hospital, he eventually gained the doctor's trust enough to gain access to prisoner tests. These tests were...
Talk about, like, manipulative.
Exactly.
Like, that's a...
conniving, calculating. I mean, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
This person. Of what they're capable of, honestly. And to think that it was molded and created from a bitch cunt of a mom.
Wow. Yeah.
Fascinating.
So he got access to these tests. What kind of tests were they? Or records or something?
So yeah, in some way, shape, form, or fashion.
Was it like their evaluation?
In a sort. So these tests, you know, they had to pass these tests in order to be released, basically. And getting access to these tests, he had access to the answers. And he memorized them.
So they had like right answers?
Exactly.
Okay.
You know?
Wow. He really made the most of that situation.
He really...
Talking about living life to the fullest right there.
Man, what? Carpe diem.
Yes.
Seize the day. He did that.
He really did.
So, needless to say, by the time he turned 21, he was released. He was released against the doctor's recommendation to his mother. So they weren't saying, no, don't release him. They were saying, no, don't release him in care of
to his mother.
In care of Clint Carnell.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree with that.
I would agree with that, too.
But that's not what happened.
Anyone who read the history of them should agree with that. But, yeah, like you said, that is
But if he's of age, why does he need release? I mean, I get the whole, you know, you're being released from, like, a hospital.
Well, you gotta remember.
Or, like, jail.
Right, but you gotta remember that when he went into this mental hospital institution.
Yeah.
He was 15. So being released at 21, what life are you gonna be released into other than a halfway house? You know what I mean? I don't know if they, I mean, yeah, so 15... You don't have a life to go back to.
He hasn't learned, like, life's
skills. How to live.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, he was...
That's terrible.
Why he wasn't released to his father, I'm not sure. Clearly, we know why he wasn't released to his grandparents.
Well, yeah. Did his father even want anything to do with him after he killed his parents?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know the answers to that question. I wish I did, though.
Yeah, probably not.
I'll try to figure it out, for sure. But yeah, he was released to his mother.
Back to Montana?
Not in Montana. At that point, she was in Santa Cruz, California again. So he was released in California. And he dabbled in a few different odd jobs until he eventually landed a job at the Department of Transportation.
I didn't know he had a job there. That's like a reputable job.
It's for the government, for the state, right? County, maybe? I don't know. So this is where basically it all began. The murdering, because I don't know if I mentioned it, but
he's learned from all these other people's mistakes, and
he basically was prepping himself up and knows how to begin.
Yeah, and now he's like
gonna begin.
All time dangerous self, not necessarily dangerous, but you know what I mean, like. He's more prepped. So like
he's knowledge. He's
knowledge.
Yes,
that's what I
he is
mean.
Knowledgeable of the crimes he wants to commit and how to commit them and get away with them.
Yeah.
So he began to test himself. he would pick up female hitchhikers and start, he would let them go, of course, but he would go a little bit further and further with them in the car each time. You know, just testing himself a little bit more, like, am I going to be able to let him go? If I go a little bit further, am I going to be able to let them out the car? Until eventually.
Like, when you say further, like, driving
like further? Like, further distance, exactly. Okay. He eventually stopped letting them out of the car, needless to say. In 1972, his first victims were Miriam Pesch and Anita Luchessa. I could be saying those completely wrong.
So his first time killing, mm-hmm. he killed two?
Right.
Two people at the same time? Like, together?
Yes. Yes. And, I mean, those weren't his intentions, but I'll explain how it happened if you'd like.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So, they were both some co-eds, college kids, 18 years old.
Hitchhiking.
He promised them, I don't believe that they were students of Stanford. I think they were students at another school. But he promised them a ride to Stanford University. Eventually, a struggle ensued. And he stabbed the women to death accidentally.
Kind of like it in began the moment.
As, the initial altercation began as an accident. And then he realized he had to kill them both. So he did so. Basically, these weren't his intentions, but the series that began
things
to unfold,
occurred.
Exactly. Yeah. He felt like he had no other choice but to kill them both. And he did this and put them in his trunk and brought them back to his apartment. From there, he decided to remove their heads and their hands so that they couldn't be identified. Exactly. And then, brace yourself.
Okay.
He has sex with their dead bodies.
Why is that a thing?
It's a thing called necrophilia. Not sure why it's a thing.
I mean, I guess it's more common than you would like.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely
but,
so.
But, yeah.
He eventually killed four other co-eds in the same way.
When you say the same way, do you mean, like, it was the situation that led to it?
As or far as them hitchhiking, him picking them up, and him murdering
okay.
them. Yeah. Next, he killed Aiko Ku. I could be saying that wrong. A-I-K-O.
Aiko?
Ku. K-O-O. She was only 15 years old. Mm-hmm. He taped her mouth to try to suffocate her, and when he was successful, he raped her unconscious body, again suffocated her with a scarf, and then placed her back into his trunk.
When she was unconscious, unconscious?
Yes.
Or she was deceased?
So she was unconscious when he raped her, and then with the scarf, mm-hmm. he suffocated her until
and
she was deceased.
And then
put her in the trunk.
Okay.
Every now and again, he would just, you know, glance at her corpse like he had done something amazing and great.
And he was proud of it?
Like, he was proud of it. And then he dissected her on his bed.
Oh.
The same as he did with his first two victims. Basically, to where she wasn't able to be identified or found. Very little of her was ever found.
Yeah.
Next, he murdered 19-year-old Cindy Shaw. He drove her to...
She was hitchhiking?
She was also hitchhiking. All of these women were hitchhiking. And at some point, colleges had posted and announced, you know, do not hitchhike. Don't ride with anyone that is not from the school or anyone you don't know. And you know what the kicker is?
Hmm.
His mom worked for the college. So he had a college sticker on his car. So they were happily and readily getting in the car with him.
Because they were told, hey, you don't have to worry if it's...
They go to this school.
Yeah.
Or that school, yeah.
Wow.
That's kind of an upsetting fact for me.
Yeah.
Kind of.
For sure.
Something you were told to trust and say, hey, this is okay right now in these times of horror. And that's exactly what wasn't okay. Mm-hmm. You know. It's just kind of sad.
Very.
You know?
Things could have been way different if that one factor didn't play out like
that. Right. Just don't hitchhike, period.
Yeah.
Not just with people from the school. Don't hitchhike. That's,
in general, it's very scary.
After he picked up Cindy's shawl, he forced her into his trunk as well and shot her with his gun.
So this time he shot her?
He shot her this time. He moved the body to his home and had sex with her dead body.
Then he dismembered
her. The next morning he had sex with her. And then, yes, dismembered her. He didn't dismember her before.
Yeah.
That would be another level of creepy. I haven't heard anything like that before. I don't think. Not that I'd want to, but it's, you know, you hear about necrophilia and you hear about body dismemberment.
Yeah.
But you don't hear about it in the
together
reverse fashion. Like dismembering and then the sex.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
You don't really hear about that.
I'm gonna Google it. And then the FBI might knock them on
door. I'll let you go ahead and Google it. Yeah, just let me know how that...
Let that fall to my IP address.
Yeah. I mean, I Google a lot of shit. But there are some things I will never Google.
Like what? What would you never Google? What would you never Google ISIS and why?
Or something. I don't know. Ooh. I don't know. Like some
good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha.
There's just some things I'm not even gonna try.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I won't Google ISIS either.
Anyway. Sorry.
Anywho, he had sex with, you know, her corpse the next morning and then dismembered her, removing any evidence. That was his main reason for dismembering. So remember with his first two victims, he removed their heads, he removed their hands so they couldn't be identified. With her, he
did just like make smaller.
Right. So he did the same thing with her. He also removed the bullet from her skull.
Because bullets can be traced.
Yeah, ballistics.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was legit.
Wow.
He was legit.
And so he was already thinking of things like that.
Exactly. This, remember, while he was in the hospital, he interviewed basically all of these criminals to find out their downfalls, how they got caught.
Yeah.
So one of those criminals probably got caught because they got the bullet from the victim and ran ballistics to match the bullet to the gun to the gun to him.
Okay.
You know, so he prevented that from happening. Another one probably was identified by fingerprints, so he cut the hands off. If there's no head, how can you tell me that that's their body? If there's no fingerprints, how can you say that?
Yeah.
He was very smart.
I mean, everybody today knows those are identifying, you know, markers. But
this was in the 70s.
Yeah.
The 1972.
Not everybody knows that, you know?
Exactly.
So that makes him very more like...
Very advanced.
Advanced, that is the word, yes. Mm-hmm.
This victim, actually, Cindy, he buried her head in his mother's garden, facing her bedroom window on purpose, because he's quoted in saying that she always wanted people to look up to her. So this motherfucker buried a fucking head in her garden that always looked up to her. How iconic, Aaron.
I love that.
Dude.
Just because, like, he's
clever,
like,
to say the least.
Kind of, you know?
Right.
Like, haha, you always said, you know, like, this is what you always wanted, so now I'm giving it to you.
Like, bitch, you tried it. You're welcome. Wow. You see?
Yeah.
So this is what I mean by my favorite. Like, he's not my favorite. But anyways, it's fucking fascinating, their minds and their justifications.
And just, not agree, because I don't, with his choice of actions or whatever. But, like, I can totally relate with the feeling of, like, wanting to, like, or taking the opportunity of being a smartass to my mother, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean...
For sure. Yeah.
Mom says smart ass shit to you all the time and you have to shut your mouth. So of course you have shit you want to say to your mom.
Oh yeah.
That's natural. You know?
Yeah.
But I don't think burying a head in your mom's garden is natural at all.
Definitely not.
to spite her. His other two co-ed victims were 23-year-old Rosalind Thorpe and 21-year-old Alice Liu.
She has a nice smile. Mm-hmm. Very pretty.
Alice Liu.
It's too bad.
Yeah. Those were his last co-ed victims. Not his last victims. He killed these people with the image of his mother.
Oh.
Right?
So they were, like, in place of...
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All of his resentment.
All of his resentment and built-up anger, it all got taken out on them because of her. So, finally, he took care of her with a claw hammer. His mother. He killed Clarnell Kemper with a claw hammer in 1973 as she slept peacefully in her bed.
A claw hammer sounds like very...
The word claw.
That's it.
Makes it sound that much worse.
Yeah.
But would it be any better if I said a ball peen hammer? Because that's the other one.
Oh, the... Yep.
Mm-hmm. Any better?
No.
Didn't think so.
No.
I think the fact that we describe these both hammers...
Both are awful. Yeah.
I could say sledge. Any better?
No.
Have you seen Misery?
Oh, yes, I have.
Cannot watch Kathy Bates smash Buddy's ankles again. I just can't.
No.
Great movie, but goddamn.
Great movie, but wow.
So... After he killed his mother with the hammer, he decapitated her. And are you ready for the next part?
Yes. As ready as I'm going to be.
He proceeded to rape her severed head. I can't even imagine how or don't. I don't know what the details. I have no idea. I don't want to know.
Yeah, no.
I read the words on all my research that he raped her severed head, and that's what I'm passing along.
Well, yeah, I feel like that's a very major detail about his crimes. I mean, that makes his story...
Talk about making a statement.
Exactly.
Fuck you, Mom, to the mat.
Yeah, for sure.
If fuck you, Mom, was a picture...
Well, I know in Mindhunter, it had mentioned that in one of the last conversations or whatever that he had with his mom, she had came back from a party or something, and mm-hmm. she was kind of, like, tipsy or whatever, mm-hmm. and she was complaining about how she hasn't had, like, a lover or whatever.
Exactly, and it's his fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, by him doing that, that was, like,
oh. There's your lover.
Yeah, there yeah. you go.
That's fucked.
Like, you asked for it, you know?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's fucking twisted. It's twisted.
It is.
Yeah. As if that wasn't enough, he decided to use her head as a dartboard after that. Like target practice.
Yeah.
Fucking target practice.
So yeah, bro. He said, fuck you to the picture and went for the real thing, huh?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah. It was pretty epic, to say the least. I mean, you'd think it wouldn't get any worse, but there's more.
Okay. What is more?
So after he used her head for target practice, he ripped out her vocal cords, you know, her larynx, her voice box, everything you basically use to fucking talk
and yell
and berate and belittle. He put them in the garbage disposal, tried to grind them bitches up, but found that they were just a little bit too chewy and meaty for that to happen.
I don't even know what they would look like. I know what I picture them like in my head, but mm-hmm. I picture them being long.
I picture
long.
Cartoons.
Me I don't
too.
Know if...
I picture squid.
What? Yeah, very long. Ouch. That's all I think of. Like, ouch. And in the garbage disposal.
In the garbage disposal. His comment to that, and I quote, is, that seemed appropriate. As much as she bitched and screamed and yelled at me over so many years.
Yep.
So, yeah, exactly what we said. Like, basically, you asked for it. Like, agreed. Fuck you, Mom.
I mean, not agreed, but, like, I get where...
You get where he's coming from, right?
Totally understand why yeah. he thinks that. Yeah.
Afterwards, he wanted to throw the suspicion off of him for killing his mom. As if the fact that he killed his grandparents wasn't enough.
And, I mean, did people even know at this point, his mom?
No idea.
Okay.
No idea. They had...
But he, I mean...
No idea. Yeah. He was thinking ahead.
You gotta clean up.
Yeah. So, in order to clean up, he decided to murder her best friend. Because that's logical, right?
Because it's the best friend. I mean...
Yeah. I mean, if because if it was just his mom...
Or gone missing, or just anything, if yeah. I hadn't heard from you or, you know, seen you in short... I mean, not short period of time, but, you know, after
you'd be
a
looking.
Day or... Yeah. I mean, I would start questioning it.
Right, but think about it this way. If I go missing and you go missing with me...
They'll think we ran off together or something.
Or, you know, some other thing. It points away from, oh, the son killed his mom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So...
It adds more possibilities.
Exactly. It gives a little bit more...
Okay.
Yeah. So, he invited Miss Sarah Hallett over. He called her over for dinner, and he proceeded to kill her and then chop her head off as well and sleep the night away. Eventually, he started driving out of town and was listening to the radio. When he didn't hear anything about the situation on the radio, he was just like,
why
okay.
Why aren't they coming to look for me?
Yeah, like, what's happening? Like, why am I not, like, why is this not an issue yet?
Yeah.
Why would it be an issue, Ed? Why would it be? Who, like, what, like, no time, like, I'm so confused that he's been so smart up till now.
And planning to, like, learn from other people's mistakes that got caught. So learning to not get caught,
and you're purposely
and then
wanting,
looking to, yeah,
exactly. So when he doesn't, you know, when he's not being sought after or chased, he decides to pull over and stops at a phone booth, and then he calls the cops himself. Yes,
he tries to turn himself in.
And eventually successful. But he tries to turn himself in, and the operator was thinking he was kidding. He's like, yeah, I'm the co-ed killer. I killed all these people. And the 911 operator was just basically like, ha-ha, stop fucking with me. Yeah. I've got other 911 calls to take that are serious.
Because nobody really would expect anyone to call up and turn themselves in like that.
It's not usual. Definitely not the average call.
Yeah.
So... After she hung up on him, he called back, explained what just happened and the situation again, and then kind of gave some more details that nobody but the killers would know. And they asked if he would wait on them. And he was like, yeah, sure, of course. So when they eventually got there, he's like, okay, cool, cool, cool. Just drops the phone, walks out of the booth, and this man, I don't know if I've even mentioned it in the past fucking 2 hours, but he's like over 6 feet, like
he's
six
like
fucking
giant.
Nine. He's huge. And so he steps out of the phone booth and just places his hand so daintily on top of the phone booth and waits to be patted down and arrested.
Wow. So he's saying like, hey, this is me, I did it, but also this is exactly where you can find me.
Yeah. So, naturally, he was arrested, charged, and convicted. He was sentenced to life imprisonment in a state hospital located in California. And that's where he resides today.
And he's 71.
Yeah, he's pretty fucking old. I haven't done the math, but...
Well, Google said he's 71.
Yeah, he actually was eligible for parole back in 1979. And he's been denied since. He's eligible
every year.
I don't think you're eligible every year. I think you're eligible every so many years, like every five or ten or something.
That was so long ago, like
right. But he's been denied ever since. He's eligible again in 2024. So maybe we'll see what happens.
That's like sooner than later. So.
Right. He had a stroke in 2015. So. You know, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. That stroke actually is the reason that he retired from a really interesting job that he had in prison.
What did he do?
Believe it or not, you can download a few or more than a few audiobooks and you'll hear the narrator, Ed Kemper.
That is a really cool job.
Yeah, so that's what he decided to do while he was imprisoned in the hospital this time versus interviewing and taking notes from other serial killers.
I think that was a nice change.
A little more productive.
Yeah, beneficial.
A little more beneficial to society.
Yeah.
So let me tell you a few titles that you can download and hear Ed Kemper read to you. One of them is Star Wars. Another, okay. The Rosary Murders, which I've personally never heard of.
I've never heard of, but that would be really kind of cool
to hear
Ed Kemper
read a story on murder. I will listen to Ed Kemper read me Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
I'm probably not going to be into the Star Wars, him reading the Star Wars, because
I'm sure no.
That's not really my thing.
Yeah.
But
let me tell you what is my thing.
Interested in hearing him.
Flowers in the Attic, dope ass Lifetime movie, dope ass. I mean, I didn't read the book. I watched the Lifetime movie. But it's a book, and it's a book series. Like, there's more, and the Lifetime also made more movies.
Lifetime movies are always good.
That's
but
why.
I haven't heard of
Lifetime movies are the reason I am the way I am. Thank you, Mom.
Yeah.
For making me watch Lifetime.
I love Lifetime.
Yeah, Lifetime's dope. But Flowers in the Attic, that's a Lifetime movie. He narrated that audiobook as well. So I thought that was a pretty cool fact about Ed Kemper. The man's first rule violation recorded at all. Remember, he was arrested and convicted and sentenced back in like 73, 4, 5. Somewhere around that time. 73 is when he killed his mom. So around that time, that's when it all went down. And his first rules violation was 45, almost 50 years later in 2016 for not providing a urine sample. That's insane for a prisoner. Talk about model prisoner.
That.
Show me another.
I want to kind of know his reasoning for that.
A little bit, yeah.
Like, definitely. What are you doing?
But with everything else he's got going on in his life, I'm good with those facts.
Yeah.
I can miss out on why you didn't give up a urine sample
but
thing.
But it's weird that that would be his first ever.
You're in jail for almost 50 years.
Yeah.
I'd try a drug or two at some point and not give a urine sample to keep my clean record. I mean, he's weird. He doesn't. I mean, why did he do the things he did? So, you know.
Exactly. You're right. Yeah.
I mean, even post-trauma and everything.
But he was he considered like a model?
Yes. Yes. I mean, remember he was granted access to the prison. In his first stint, he was granted access to prisoner's test and just given all this, you know.
But he was being very, like, manipulative then.
Mm-hmm.
This time, in his prison sentencing, it seems like he's been
pretty chill,
what
laid
it
back.
Seems. To be trying to go through the process of rehabilitating.
Possibly.
Or
he's just accepted fate or just kind of done. I mean, you know.
Moving forward.
The whole reason
was
his mom, and his mom's gone now.
Yeah.
So he's good.
Yeah.
He's good.
He
problem
got it,
solved.
He got it
you
out
know?
Of his system.
Got it out of his system. Like Bow Wow.
Gotta get you. Yeah.
Yeah, no more.
Like Bow Wow. You're right.
For sure, for sure. That is Edmund Emil Kemper III.
I enjoyed that.
I enjoyed it as well. He is definitely one of my top five.
Yeah.
Probably top three.
I like learning about his story and whatnot because he was like one of the first serial killers or whatever, you know, that really
helped shape.
Learned about.
All right, so if you guys want to tell us what we did wrong or what we did good, you can email us.
darkinterestpodcast@gmail.com.
That's right. We're going to have a couple of pictures to go along with the episode as well. That is going to be on our Instagram.
Dark Interest Podcast.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review.